action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here for the next 55 minutes or so to discuss whatever you want, within reason, of course.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah,
whether it's today's football, maybe you want to get something off your chest if you're like a Partick Thistle fan or a Queen's Park fan or Dundee United. I'm thinking more likely Aberdeen. Neil Warnock no longer the manager. It was actually such a big story, that the full thing, that maybe this goes beyond Aberdeen fans. Maybe there are other fans out there who just want to have their say on what's going on there. He's no longer the Aberdeen manager, so get your thoughts in. And then on to tomorrow, Rangers fans. Is there any concern about tiredness or European hangover, or is this squad built a bit differently? How do you feel about a trip to Hibs tomorrow? Would you do anything different with the team? Get all your pre-match thoughts in there. And same goes for you Celtic fans. There's no backup left back anymore. We know that Lia Labada has not really been an option in recent weeks, but now that's official anyway. You get into the game against Livingston, no Callum McGregor. Is there anything in particular you want to see? No Yang as well. So get your calls over to us, please, on 0141 951 1025. Jack is in Shettleston and he has got Neil Warnock on his mind. What did you think when you heard that story earlier this afternoon, Jack?
I wasn't surprised, to be honest.
No.
See if it was any other manager. Well, to be honest, I kind of was surprised because it was a manager, but I'm talking about if it was any other manager, it would have been gone a while ago.
What do you mean? He's only been in 33 days. How could he have been gone a while ago?
He's been terrible. I mean, there's been no uplift or anything like that. See if it was any other manager, Barney Warnock, people would be crying for him to go. He's been I think he's come up here thinking it would be an absolute scoosh, and he's struggled. Really badly struggled.
That second point's maybe a good one that we can argue, Hugh. Just factually, I don't know how much earlier he could have gone.
No.
Maybe 33 days.
No.
But do you think he underestimated things up here, as Jack suggests?
I think he came up with the wrong attitude altogether. He thought, well, I'll tick that off the bucket list. I like Scotland. But I thought his manner was always condescending for me. When he spoke at his initial press conference, and he said that his wife had said to him, Aberdeen. And I thought, no, I'll leave that stuff.
Do that again.
Aberdeen.
Brilliant.
So I thought, you know, leave that alone. You know, this is a club who could really be doing with some stability. He didn't provide it. He didn't win a league game. He beat Bonnyrigg Rose, and he goes out and he's made the most of beating Kilmarnock 3-1, deservedly beating Kilmarnock, but he made himself sound like a miracle worker at the end of the game. And Jack on the line is absolutely correct. His work, his general body of work, was simply poor.
That's the strangest part about it, Hugh. His reign since he came up has been disastrous, I've got to say. I'm with you. I was never a great fan. I'd admire what he achieved in his management career. I would never have a go at that. But the strange bit about it was today was his best performance, a fantastic result, positivity, semi-final, and typical Neil Warnock, he's now away home.
Mark, it's a difficult one because you could almost go back to the day he was appointed. If I had said, I've got a crystal ball and he's not going to get the right results, people would at that point say, ah, that's because he's not going to take it seriously. You know, that, do you know what I mean? That was always an accusation that was going to be levelled at him, that he underestimated things. We're not behind the scenes, not sure, but did you get that sort of impression? I'm just conscious of maybe being unfair on the guy without us knowing exactly what transpired, but I totally understand why people do jump to that conclusion.
Well, maybe it is unfair because we're never privy to what goes on inside the dressing room walls. You know, Aberdeen players may come away from this and say, by the way, he was fair with me, we liked his training, results didn't work out. But he's a manager with huge experience. 20 stints in manager, his managerial career, now that's not 20 clubs because he's managed the same club a couple of times then there. So you think he would have a serious nature, even if he was coming to Scotland. And he campaigned a wee bit before he got the Aberdeen job that he would like to manage in Scotland. You've seen him on podcasts and different broadcasts that he would like to manage in Scotland. So maybe it was unfair to say that he didn't take it serious, but maybe he just underestimated how serious the football is up here. and particularly for fan bases out with Rangers and Celtic, because like I said earlier, people down south just view the Scottish League, Scottish Premiership through the lens of Celtic and Rangers, and that's all that matters. But when you've got a club the size of Aberdeen who are steeped in history with a fan base who really demand to get back there, then you've got to take it serious. And taking it serious means getting results by hook or crook. And he just didn't go over the line. And then I think just the whole farce of how they lost that game last week at St Mirren, Aberdeen fans were at the end of their tether. So it was going to become really difficult over the next few weeks in the league for him to manage through that. And whether it was his decision or not, I think it's the right decision.
Did you think it was going to work better than it has, Jack?
I think everybody kind of did. He's done well in England and what have you, you know, with the promotions and everything he's got. He always seems to be the guy that people bring in for that reason or to survive or whatever. But it was just awful. I mean, some of his press conferences were all about him. It seemed that everything was all about him. He is quite, I think he's quite arrogant that way, but it's all about him. Showed to me disrespect to the Scottish game and what have you, and nothing, it always seemed to, nothing was his fault.
A bit like Derek Adams in that regard. Derek had 12 games at Ross County. It was all talk and no action. Derek Adams and Neil Warnock, plenty to say, never a word of self-assessment, far less self-criticism, and he's gone. For me, the fascinating thing is Aberdeen as a club are turning into a myth. They have won one trophy under Derek McInnes in the last, 30 years? This is not the Aberdeen of Alec Ferguson. Those days have long gone. Aberdeen need to get themselves a proper manager, need to stop picking managers who they then sack a year later. Proper manager and start rebuilding the club, because they don't win enough to be considered a big club, a truly big club.
Thank you to Jack. Don't forget, you can join Jack if you agree or disagree with what you're hearing on 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Just conscious though, to go back to what was saying earlier about the, whilst I'm not saying it's wrong, I couldn't prove it's wrong, I just wonder if this is an easy place to jump. Is it all in danger of getting a little bit personal? Does anyone really know?
By the way,
yes, Neil Warnock. Look, Neil Warnock's outspoken. Neil Warnock is of a certain generation. Neil Warnock's very forthright in his opinions. It doesn't necessarily mean he took it for granted or he thought it was going to be a skoosh or whatever some of the allegations are.
I was going to say there when Jack was just saying there, his press conference was all about him, and yeah, that's the way he's managed in his career.
And by the way, to almost wouldn't dream of speaking on behalf of the media, but like we would take part of the blame for that. I think, you know, when Neil Warnock's appointed, he is going to become this. He is going to be the story.
Of course.
Does that make sense? He's to us, for as an example, right? To us here, with no disrespect, we would talk about Neil Warnock on this show more than we would talk about Stephen Glass. It's just the nature of the size of the personality.
Yeah, because his personality in the media. And sometimes we talk about good managers, how they deflect away from their players when things are going rough. And you say he took it on his shoulders. Nobody's speaking about the players, and he took it on his shoulders. But with Neil Warnock, it seemed to be this is a bit of a circus. And perhaps it was. But what I would say in his defence, some of the players and some of the goals he conceded, you look at his first game, right, at Ibrox. Look at it. Was it the two goals he conceded? The goalkeeper palms it out. Okay, so that's nothing to do with him. You then look at Devlin's performances over the time. You look at things like the handball, the penalties given away at crucial times. There have been poor performances from the players at Pittodrie that hasn't helped his case.
I don't think you can be personal with the manager. I think he's achieved too much in his management career to be disrespectful to him. He's come up. You're right, Gordon. I think everybody looked at it and thought, oh, what an appointment this is from Aberdeen. It's got to be box office. We all joined in, we all sat there, we all listened to him. It's just a case of Scottish football wasn't for him. It didn't work. He's 75. He bowed out with a terrific performance, semi-final today. The rest of it was a complete disaster. But I think it's very unfair to just point the finger at him and say, well, you were disrespectful to Scottish football, you underestimated it. I do not think that was the case. I just think it was appointment that didn't go right.
Because had, look, if Aberdeen had been flying and Barry Robson then got headhunted away for a bigger job, and then Neil Warnock came in and took the team completely backwards and completely the opposite direction, you would maybe have a stronger case to say, well, this is all on him. But he was brought in for a reason. You know, Aberdeen sacked their manager because they weren't in good enough form. There have been high points this season, granted, in Europe and so on. But this is a bigger problem. Aberdeen are in bigger problems than just Neil Warnock by the looks of it.
Yeah, of course. That's why the next appointment is crucial. They can't go on in this fashion. You know, we've had Stephen Glass, we've had Jim Goodwin, Barry Robson. Now the interim manager has gone. The next appointment has to be the first chosen by Dave Cormack, who has substance, who has a chance of reconstructing Aberdeen, because, as I say, we go on about Aberdeen being arguably the third biggest club or the fourth behind Hearts in our country, but they don't win things. And now we're talking about them being in danger of taking part in the playoffs to stay in the division. And the game with Dundee at Dens midweek will be very, very interesting. But this next managerial appointment has to be the beginning of a restructuring of the entire club.
But that's been the problem here, is it not? Dave Cormack choosing the manager.
Yeah.
I get he's the owner of the club.
Yeah.
But you hire people to sometimes take that role away from you. And I think when you've had a good tilt at it yourself and everything's failed, I think even at the owner, you have to sometimes hold your hands up and say, you know what, I'll take a step back from this one. And on you go, Alan Burrows, go and do your work.
Do you know what I would have done? I'd have phoned Fergie. Because he knows everyone in British football and he might have been able to steer them in.
Do you not think that phone call was made here?
I don't think so.
No?
Fergie didn't come up with Neil Warnock.
See, as much as you're an absolute legend and it doesn't even do it justice, is that stuff not all a bit predictable, a bit old, a bit, you know? Well, Man United have been steered by him for so many years. What would, if we're talking about Neil Warnock not knowing the Scottish game, Sir Alex Ferguson?
No, but he doesn't.
How would he pick Aberdeen's manager? I just don't get it.
No, because he wouldn't look at Scotland. He would have knowledge of people down south who,
like Neil Warnock.
Well, no, he'd never have touched Neil Warnock with a basketball. Nah, not Fergie style. That he'd have somebody in mind. I mean, you look at some of the guys down there. Look at the one at Ipswich just now, Kieran McKenna. I know he lost today, but he's got Ipswich near the top of the championship.
Aberdeen are not getting him though.
Well, I'm just saying that there are names like that floating around down there.
These conversations make me feel uncomfortable because I wouldn't dream of saying anything that's remotely negative towards the career of Sir Alex Ferguson, Mark. It just feels like that's always just a bit of an easy one. Man United do it for a start, never mind Aberdeen.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Gordon, this one. As much Sir Alex's a legend, his affiliation with Aberdeen will be remembered forever, of course, but Aberdeen need to take care of their own business and they employ people at the club who have a specialised skill set of recruiting. They have to do the job themselves. Dave Cormack's took it on his shoulders to appoint Stephen Glass and Jim Goodwin and give Barry Robson and Neil Warnock, and none of them have worked it. You need to give the job or hand over that task to someone else and say, I'll back you. Let's get a clear structure in place that's sustainable and can take us through 3-year cycle. And let's give it time to run its course. And of course, when relegation comes into the picture, then perhaps you need to reassess that. But I think it's been an unusual season for Aberdeen. I can't see them, if they'd survive, which I think they will survive this season, I can't see them being in that position again. So if you're mid-table, just stick with it. And perhaps in a couple of years under the manager, you get to where you want to get to. But too much chopping and changing.
Let's
over the years.
Let's hear from Neil Warnock, the departing Neil Warnock.
Up and down? I don't think you can say any more about Aberdeen, can you? Up and down. I didn't enjoy last Saturday night, if I'm honest. I did think, what am I doing here at 75 to concede two goals like that at Saint Mirren? Well, really, they didn't deserve it. So no, Saturday night and Sunday was it, but I knew that I had to be the one that got everybody going on the Monday morning. You haven't got time to dwell, bloody hell, you don't know what's around the corner in life in general. So, and I actually, it actually helped me. I went to the Aberdeen Sports Awards on Thursday night, and that made me really, how lucky are we, really, to see some of the kids disabled and things like that getting awards. I thought, wow, are we lucky to be a football manager or football player in the modern game? So that helped me a lot, that, going to that, to the awards do. Yeah, disappointing in that, but, you know, there'll be some lucky man coming, and, you know, they've got, I think the players are starting to see what's required, really. I mean, Angus at the back, McDonald today, and Stefan, I mean, I can't see him playing like that for a few years, really. And that's the standard they've set. You know, they couldn't cope with us. We were more physical than them, really, but we could play as well. So I was really, really pleased all over. The fullbacks never made silly mistakes. We still give a goal away, which was stupidity, which they've got to learn. But overall, the energy and the enthusiasm and the creativity and the fans on, it was a really good atmosphere today. I knew within 4 or 5 minutes that we were on our game today.
01419511025 is the number that you need to get through to the show to speak to Hugh Mark and or Gordon DL. You can tweet us as well at @ClydeSSB if you'd rather do it that way, but it's more fun to speak on the phone. Mark is on the line. Have you got a suggestion for the next Aberdeen manager, Mark?
Well, I think it'll be the guy. What I would do then, I would bring Billy Davis in to the end of the season. Then I would use the guy for Dundee that was the number two with Derek McInnes for Aberdeen. I think he'll get the job at the end of the season. Dockett, because he's done a great job with Dundee. His first manager
Tony
job.
Dock, surely this next guy's not till the end of the season though.
No.
That'd be the only problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be permanent. I can't see Tony Dock leaving his first stint as manager at Dundee after the good work that he's done, like Mark says, just to go to Aberdeen.
Would he be associated with
The Derek McInnes era,
by the way, which was good, obviously.
It was,
but
of course.
Just move on from that sort of
thing. Well, I would say so. I think Tony Dock has set his own course now. I don't think he would go back there at this moment.
I know you're going to argue about my friend Billy Davis, and you can say he's been out the game for X amount of years, but he's got, I've never seen anybody preparation as good in my life as this guy, coach wise. Every player talks very highly. He's been at Benfica, he's done every coaching license possible, he's at every game north and south of the border. Look, if he walked in there, I am sure he would organise that club in 2 minutes.
But he can't be there until the end of the season. You either go the whole hog,
I agree with that, Hugh.
Or not at all. As I say, it's time for Aberdeen Football Club to get serious, because they are a myth.
Could you see Neil Lennon getting it, Mark?
No, his wage demands would be too high. I mean, Aberdeen kind of go down that road. Mm. I mean, then also Lennon would want a big budget as well. I mean, because Aberdeen is in a mess. But I think Billy Davis would do a great job with Aberdeen. It's what you should explain there. He's got previous good experience. Mm. I mean,
I have no idea that Neil Lennon's thoughts on money. I just couldn't imagine it'd be that much different from some of the other suggestions.
Well, seeing where Neil has been in his career and what Aberdeen,
now,
yeah, what Aberdeen are reputed to pay their managers, then no, I don't think that's out of the question. I don't agree either that Neil would go in and ask for a big budget. I think Neil's been a manager that proves
Aberdeen
he can get a reaction.
Do have
out
a big a decent budget?
Yeah, of course,
like, they
have.
You know, they haven't backed managers recently.
He's 52. He wants back in. He's clearly desperate to get back in. He has publicly advertised himself for that job. So, and he's not a stupid man. He knows that he can't make excessive wage demands because they will be unable to be met. So if he wants back in and they want him, then it should be easy enough to arrange.
Thank you very much to Mark. 01419511025. We'll get some managerial reaction to today's game. So where are you, Partick Thistle fans? What did you make of it today? Queen's Park fans, anyone else? You want to keep going on Neil Warnock? You're more than welcome. And then tomorrow, Celtic fans, Rangers fans, all your thoughts please on the cup, and we'll speak to you next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. We've already had a bit of reaction to the breaking news today that Neil Warnock is no longer the Aberdeen manager. That is despite winning against Kilmarnock in the Scottish Cup. What about you Kelly fans? I know you'll be lost in all of this, the headlines about Neil Warnock, but out the cup on a day when expectation was quite high. I wonder where you think it went wrong. You could give us a call if you don't mind. And then on to tomorrow as well. Celtic fans, surely back to business at home against Livingston. Is that the way you're feeling? I know the squad's changed a bit this week. You look at Abada and Burnaby leaving. There'll be no Callum McGregor, Yang's suspension in there as well. So how do you feel about that game tomorrow? Is it run of the mill or does it carry any anxiety for you? And what about Rangers fans? Maybe you're heading back from Lisbon. You'll be back, you'll be tired. We'll leave it at tired after a couple of days away supporting your team. Are you worried that the team are tired? Are you worried that that could be an issue tomorrow? Or have they shown in the past that they'll be fine to get up and go again and progress at Easter Road? Because on paper, football never works this way. That's obviously the tougher of the ties,
yeah,
isn't it, when you look at various factors?
Celtic, first of all, against Livingston. McGregor is a huge loss. I know that his form had not been at its previous heights in recent weeks, but you can see right away at Tynecastle, might have been overshadowed by all of the nonsense that went on there, but Celtic don't half miss Callum McGregor. And Yang was coming on to something of a game. He won't be there either. The crowd will be on the low side, I suspect. The atmosphere will be flat. It's up to the Celtic players to try and generate a better atmosphere. But Livingston will dig in. They'll be awkward. And I think that tomorrow Celtic should take nothing for granted. They'll need to work for their result. Nick Montgomery at 5:30 in Easter Road. He's got a team that's starting to look a bit lively. By general consensus, Rangers looked a bit tired by the end of the game against Benfica. If Hibs are to have a chance, they will be unlikely to get a better chance than the one they have tomorrow.
Well, what do you think? I like to hear what Hugh thinks, but you're more important. Even he would concede, though. 01419511025. Call us right now for either of those games tomorrow. Let's start with Celtic because it's earlier, quite simply. Mark Wilson, on paper, you get to this stage of a competition, a home tie against a struggling team, the bottom side in the Premiership, is it kind of what you're looking for? Or does that bring its own sort of pressure, heightened expectation?
No, let's be honest, it's probably one of the most favourable draws you could have got. I know Morton's in there, but imagine going away to Morton. What Hearts have got to face, that could have been tricky. So when you look at the Livingston team and how they've performed this season, you've got to take that and you've got to say, yeah, we're glad that we've got that draw. Look, I know Livingston can make it difficult for you, but you'd expect, once again, Celtic to you know, up their performance levels from last week and go through the tie pretty simply. But look, again, performances have to rise up a bit. You know, Tynecastle, I thought they played okay at Tynecastle, actually, with the 10 men. I thought they actually moved the ball quite well, considering, but again, a poor result. But I'm sure Brendan Rodgers just wants to get back to what it was against Dundee. They were absolutely terrific in their last home game. If they play anything like that, they'll blow Livy away, no doubt about it. But in the wide areas, again, it's a problem that they need to fix. Yang out, who's going to come in? Is James Forrest going to come in? Are we going to see something different? Who knows? But I suspect Celtic will sail through that with minimal problems tomorrow.
Yeah, it could be an interesting area of the team. Gordon, if Yang, well, Yang is suspended, if Palma is the doubt that he is said to be, there is no Leo Labada anymore, and Mikey Johnson's gone on loan. So it really leaves Maeda and A another.
Yeah.
Here's one then. Would you go James Forrest?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you squeeze Kyogo into that team?
Tomorrow I would probably look at Kyogo coming back in. I think they'll have the luxury. Livingston will go there and try and make it as hard as possible. I will be astonished, and I know that Celtic have had some sort of a poor performances against other teams like St Johnstone, teams like that, Ross County, they struggled as well. But after demolishing Dundee at home, the last game, I know they've got one or two injuries and problems in the wide areas. Too much for
me tomorrow. I think Celtic will go and cruise through.
I thought Kyogo and Ida looked good together when you seen them. Even though Celtic had 10 men, I thought they linked up well.
Kyogo actually did look quite sharp when he came on, didn't
sharp,
he? That was the type of afternoon that any of the football analysis got put in the bin, because it was all about decisions and VAR and comments. He actually probably did look quite pretty sharp.
I thought
when he came
the two
on.
Of them, you know, Kyogo was just playing off him, and I thought their movement was good, and they made it difficult for Hearts and created a few chances. So I just wonder, would he tweak the shape? Never usually tweaks it. He's done it once or twice, but you need somebody to fill one side of the pitch. Of course, I don't think it'll be Kyogo in the wide areas, but does he shift someone else out there that can fill in? You know, they've got plenty of good players.
James Forrest's not played in any of Celtic's last 12 games,
but the manager was very complimentary about him during the week. I suspect he would err on the side of safety and put in Forrest, because if Nicholas couldn't come on and couldn't do it against Livingston,
we should have possibly actually forgot. That's an oversight on my part. Surely it's an ideal time for him to play then.
Well, only if you think that he's up to it. And the manager, as we always say of managers, they see them in training every day. And I think there's a clue there when the manager starts talking up James Forrest. I would think that he'd be ahead of Kuhn for a game tomorrow.
I've always said that James Forrest, everybody writes him off. I still think he's got a lot to offer. He's been a terrific servant. But, and it's a big but, if Brendan Rodgers is shouting from the heavens that Nicholas Kuhn is an upgrade in the wingers that he's got, he's brought him in, paid this money for him, surely tomorrow, if you keep the system with the two wide men, he must be ahead of James Forrest. If he's not, then you'd be better trying to offload him as well.
Mark, I get there were probably circumstances that may have played a part, the obvious one being Celtic down to 10 men, but how often do you, on last week, it was a small point, but just since we're talking about depth and so on, how often would Celtic make two subs in a game? Like, genuinely, if any statos out there can tell me the last time, because you know Ange Postecoglou, it was five every week, four at a push, pretty similar so far this season. You know, Palma, Holm, Kuhn, all new signings, all kind of middle to front players. None of them came on. Daniel Kelly and Kyogo, the only ones.
Well, it's pretty obvious then, because the manager obviously thinks what he's got on the bench isn't going to upgrade what he's got on the park. And Ange Postecoglou knew when the game got to about 60 minutes that those that were coming on were of equal ability and could finish that half hour strong. And they often did. But when Brendan Rodgers turns to his bench, and these have been his signings, remember, he obviously thinks they're not going to affect the game in a positive way, and we've got our best 11 on the pitch. So yeah, that shows you where the squad is at. But Kuhn individually needs to vary his game here in Scotland. That might have been enough where he was playing to come in his left foot and play little passes off the striker and get it returned to him, and he maybe create something from there. But if I'm a fullback and I'm playing against him, I just shut one side of the pitch off, and it looks like he's stuck. And I think Motherwell did that at Fir Park, and it was effective. And you show him the line to let him run you, and it doesn't look like he's got that blistering pace that I was led to believe that he was going to be, you know, lightning quick, that he would drop the shoulder and go either way. Doesn't seem that way at the minute. So he's certainly suffering from a lack of confidence. And Brendan Rodgers recognised that. That's why he's found himself out the team. So when Brendan Rodgers backs him and he says he's an upgrade, it's an awkward position for the manager to be in. Of course, he'll be scratching his head thinking, I really need more from you. It might be the perfect opportunity, Gordon, to put him in. It just might be. Maybe he changes his side. Maybe he puts him on the left-hand side and says, go and vary your game that way, and puts Maeda on the right. But it's going to be an interesting part of the team that he needs to fill, because that's who creates the chances for Ida and Kyogo when they're playing through the middle.
I think what I'll always love, Hugh, is the cup is so important to our teams up here, every one of them.
Yeah.
And but particularly, it's like a double's like a minimum requirement for teams up here, for Glasgow, I should say. You know, like in recent seasons, because Celtic have normalised it, they both cups form part of a treble, but there is just no room for anything other than going all the way, really, in the eyes of the fans.
Without doubt, the treble was won last season. The treble was quickly
out of the question after Celtic lost in the Viaplay Cup to Kilmarnock. To lose to Livingston and go out the Scottish Cup would be catastrophic for Celtic, and would impact on them from now until the end of the season. So there is no margin for error tomorrow, none at all. But Celtic have had the kind of season that wouldn't fill you with confidence. You know, Europe was an embarrassment. Some of the results they've had have been embarrassing. And tomorrow, the atmosphere will be dampened by what took place at Tynecastle last weekend. Celtic have to dig a performance, but more particularly a result out of that game.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers ahead of that one.
For us, it's an opportunity to make a big step into the semi-final. I think Dave has done a brilliant job over a number of years there. I certainly know my first time up here that they're always a team that was very committed, very tough to beat. And that's in his psyche, and I know that will always be in his team's psyche. So we prepare for a tough game. I always feel that we have to look at ourselves first, and for us it's really just the consistency in our work and our approach.
Of course, Brendan Rodgers has never lost a game in the Scottish Cup, Mark Wilson.
Of course, yeah, you'd forget that with his incredible time here in the past. Look, I don't think it will happen again tomorrow, and you say, you know, winning cups is what's expected. Certainly getting to Hampden and getting to the latter stages is minimal what the Celtic fans expect, and Brendan Rodgers will be well aware of that. So, you know, it will be a tough game. Livingston will make it hard, but like Celtic, I'm pretty certain we'll get through. And it's who they face in the semi-final. Like, they've dropped 19 points this season in the league. I'm with you. If they have to go out the Scottish Cup, then it would be catastrophic for them. And the fans, I'm sure, would have a lot to say about that. And Brendan Rodgers might then find himself in an awkward position. But I don't expect that to happen tomorrow.
Let's bring in Michael, who's a Celtic fan. What's on your mind tonight, Michael?
I just want to say, guys, I don't think Celtic have had a decent winger since Didi Ragat.
What about Jota?
And Jota as well, aye.
Scott Sinclair was alright.
Since Jota, but after Jota left,
I think Scott Sinclair was decent.
I think Didi Ragat was just brilliant.
What about James Forrest's player of the year season?
Aidan McGeady?
Nah, McGeady was a one trick pony too.
Like your style, Michael.
He's a tough school.
He is doubling down, isn't he, on a guy here. There's been a lot of good wingers.
Michael,
Jimmy Johnston, that's about it.
Since Agat, there's been a lot of good wingers.
Was excellent player of the year. James Forrest won player of the year.
Paddy Roberts,
Jota, he's kind of, yeah, wasn't here for too long, but still, yeah. Certainly recently, right? There's once Jota left, Gordon, it was always going to be hard to replace that. And actually, Palmer's numbers, as they always talk about, are not that bad, but probably need a bit more from the rest. You know, if Palmer's giving you the numbers, but it's not really giving you the kind of pace and beating a man, Maeda will give you the work rate, but maybe he doesn't give you the end product. It feels like trying to get a combination is maybe the problem just now.
As who's going to hold down the wide areas? I think Maeda is obviously going to be a certainty to start, and then you've got a lot of wing. In fact, they had to get rid of Mikey Johnston. He's starting to hit a bit of form.
He's got four goals already.
He's
for
been
West
absolutely Brooklyn. Brilliant. Yang, I was very impressed with Yang, I've got to say, and until the Tynecastle when he's obviously suspended, I thought he was starting to find his feet a little bit. They've spent a lot of money in wingers, and they need to start producing. And Jota has been a big pair of boots to fill, you've got to say. He was an excellent player, terrific. He had everything in the modern day game, i.e. why he got the big bucks to leave. So it was always going to be a big, big hole to fill.
Will it be straightforward enough for Celtic tomorrow, Michael?
Should be, but I mean, I've been at Parkhead when they played Livy, and as the guys have said as well, Livy always make it hard for Celtic, but Because I always remember when Gio Marcus had that penalty at the end and he missed it.
That's right, yeah, that's right. That was a couple of seasons ago now. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Thank you to Michael on the usual number. If you want to call, please do right now. We'll try and get you on next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL here. Still time for you to get your thoughts in on tomorrow's cup ties or today's football or Neil Warnock. We've had a few calls already, but there is scope for you to phone in right now. It's maybe a touch quieter than your average Saturday because there's been no top flight football. So if you've been waiting on a chance to get something off your chest, this could be it. Let's hear from some reaction to today's football. Let's go the Glasgow Derby, Queen's Park, Partick Thistle. Queen's Park 2-0 up, had to settle for a share of the spoils, 2-2 in the end. Callum Davidson, then Chris Dillon.
Do you know what I think? For me, it's we always look at where we are, and I think, you know, it's another game we haven't been beaten. You know, again, I think the record before came in wasn't great, so try to remain positive. I thought Hampden against another game. I thought we played well at Hampden. It's something they've struggled a little bit at. Disappointing thing is we've been up in the last four games and probably not taken enough points from it. But a lot of positives there, you know, so I'm pleased. You know, people are producing performances of a good level, and hopefully we can continue that.
It was strange. I mean, I felt as if the least we deserved probably was a point. First half, you know, their goalkeeper across the full game, I thought he made some terrific saves. I thought he was, I know he gets booked, but I thought he had a brilliant game. First half he made some, especially some really good saves. And then it's really, from our point of view, it's one cross ball that, you know, we need to do better to stop the cross. That's what we spoke about, their switch of play and us stopping the crosses. We don't do enough to stop it. It goes in the box and Queen's Park show that they're a threat and they've got good players and they pass the ball about well, you know, fair play to them because they're a good passing side. But I felt in the balance of play, a point was the least we deserve, especially with the chances that we created. But like I say, I thought their goalkeeper made some great saves.
Your employers, Mark Wilson, as we often remind everyone, still third place, 3 points above Morton, 4 points above Airdrie. Keeps Queen's Park at sort of arm's length. It just feels like they should have had third a bit more secure by now, but it's still not a bad position to be in.
Well, I think when you look back, probably, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, something like that, it looked like, you know, they put a run together and they may have been able to catch one of the top two and it could have been interesting, but they've slipped away. But this league is so tight, and the market that these teams from, you know, Raith Rovers, I would even include down to Arbroath, well, maybe not Arbroath, but to Inverness, the market that they're shopping in is all pretty similar. So that's why the league ends up so tight. But, you know, Thistle were on a good run. They went through a wee bit of a rocky stage. But they've got just this attitude that they're never done and dusted. We've seen it in recent weeks that even when they go two goals behind, they've always got something. And in this league, if you've got guys at the top end of the pitch that know their way around the penalty box, you've always got a chance. Thistle have got that, no doubt about it. So have Raith, so have Dundee United, as they've shown today. And that will leave you a fighting chance of getting in the playoffs. But it is tight, it's going to be exciting end to the season.
Well, at the top, Dundee United and Raith both winning, as Mark says. Let's hear from Jim Goodwin.
Yeah, no, we started the game really well, very positive. You know, on paper, the fixture looks relatively straightforward, but, you know, our both fighting for their lives and a lot of experienced players in their team, and they know how to get results to stay in this league, so we had to be professional, and I thought we'd done that. The only frustration from my point of view at half time was the fact that we weren't further in front. You know, we had another three really good opportunities. Obviously Multi hits the bar with the free kick, but he's rounded the goalkeeper, you know, empty net, unfortunately puts it over the bar, and then Glenn's had a couple of very good one-on-ones as well. So that was the only criticism at half time. Second half I thought it was really, really good. You know, played the majority of the game in Arbroath's area, and yeah, very pleasing all round.
But your old team are hanging in there. Gordon DL, Raith winning today as well, 4 points behind, game in hand.
Yeah, they'll look back in recent results when Dundee United were slipping up and Raith couldn't capitalise on it.
But today to get that Derby win, they've got the luxury of missing a penalty at the end as well. Comfortable 3 points. That'll do them the world of good. Difficult game on Tuesday at Fir Hill, I've got to say that. But
surely, I'll give you the night off.
I don't want the night
off. I'm going along.
Mark Wilson's going to be there. He's Partick Thistle employed. You're a Raith Rovers legend. Always telling us you're a student of the game. I'll get you a shift swap. You've got to go to that.
Yeah.
The other night, some really, really busy.
The Partick Thistle fans love you dearly.
Yeah, could you imagine?
We could go do the half time draw with Kingsley.
You know, Kingsley the mascot.
Aye, that'd be good. Yeah. I'm sure the fans would like to see that, both sets.
Well, they would then say, rig the draw the way he rigged the beat the punter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Hugh. I'm still not over it. Let's hear from Philippe Clement. Rangers go to Hibs tomorrow in the Cup.
We're going to go hard to get into the semi-final because it's an important thing. And I've read that they were really unlucky in the last two games against us, I read. So they have a lot of belief, clearly. So it's about us getting the good result there and qualifying. My team have been working hard all season in that way and they never stopped. Good proof was also after the Betis game. A few days later, we had the League Cup final and they were there. So, no, my team is hungry to win more trophies. And we know we need to play against Hibs a really good game because they're really hungry to beat us, apparently.
A little cutting barb in there.
See,
from
there
the
you go. That backs me up, what I said today. That still goes on. That motivates you more. I read, he says it twice. I read supposedly that they were really unlucky. I bet you he's seen that tease team in that dressing room tomorrow. I've read that they were really unlucky. So go out and show them how good we are. There you are.
I mean, Nick Montgomery, you go over Neil Warnock all day long here, but has Nick Montgomery yet convinced everyone?
Looking a bit better now though, is it not?
Well, I still think he, you know, a result like eliminating Rangers from the Scottish Cup would make all the difference for him. I don't think he'll do it. And I think that Clement, by what he had to say there, is very keen to go win and then turn to whoever has said they were unlucky to lose and say, were you unlucky tonight as well?
3 wins and 2 draws in the last 5 though.
Hibs have gone.
And then the defeat before that was a fairly narrow one, I think we'd all agree, against Celtic. Because some of the January recruitment, obviously Maialida scoring that terrific goal last time out, Marconde is looking good. We always do this. None of this will change the fact that Rangers are favourites. But when our domestic competitions are so skewed by two massive teams, we have to try and sort of build a case and look at what could happen if Hibs are bang at it and Rangers aren't.
Yeah, I think Hibs slowly are going the right direction. I think that the manager quite rightly made a decision. He went 4-4-2, very attacking. I loved that, but it was not working. His two midfield players were getting overrun. He's went back to the three in the middle of the park to match up, and it's been successful. That will be a difficult game. That there's no doubt, but I just think defensively Hibs are not the best in the league. I think Rangers are playing with so much confidence. Forget about the Motherwell game. Motherwell deserved the result. I think coming off the result against Benfica, it's the Scottish Cup, a chance to get into the semi-final. You hear the Rangers manager, be a close game, but I fancy Rangers strongly to bend that draw.
He wants the treble. And he's touched upon it that he's never been able to do that. He's got title wins in Belgium with different clubs. We know his backstory, but he has declared himself he's never won 3 trophies in one season. He wants to do that here in his first season at Rangers, and that Hibs would need to have some game tomorrow to put him off track.
Without doubt, but you know, I just can't see past Rangers at the minute for tomorrow's game. I mean, Hibs. Look, Hibs are entertaining. They have been for a number of seasons, but they can't keep the ball at their own net. And that is a serious problem when you're coming up against a team like Rangers, who can go away to Benfica and score 2 with the injury problems that they've got. Tomorrow, the tiredness from Thursday night, again, I don't really buy any. I think players thrive off big games coming around so thick and fast. I think the Rangers players will enjoy the challenge of flying back from Portugal, probably having a rest day today, getting back at it tomorrow, and then with another huge game around the corner. So I can't see past Rangers. I think they may find that easier than some predict tomorrow at Easter Road.
Here's Nick Montgomery.
Let's be honest, I watched the game against Benfica. Yeah, it was a good game. Yeah, they've definitely, you know, they definitely got the squad, you know, the budget. I think that, you know, it's often they mentioned the transfer market. Benfica compared to Rangers is over 100 million. I think, transfer market value of Rangers compared to Hibs is over 100 million as well. So yeah, you know, obviously there's always pressure on a team like Rangers and Celtic. You know, will be the underdog. But yeah, when you look at the squad they've got and the value of the squad they've got on the budget. Yeah, them, you know, teams like them are more than capable of playing multiple competitions because yeah, they invest heavily in the squad. So yeah, that's why they're so successful. But it's a cup game; it's 90 minutes, and yeah, it's anybody on the day. And I think we're in a good place right now. We're confident going into the game.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to that one. Before we do advertise what's coming up tomorrow, just sum today up for us, Hugh.
Aberdeen are looking for their third manager of a season that still has some way to go. Astonishing. Neil Warnock, 6 league games, no wins, 2 points from 18, but did get them today to the semi-final of the Scottish Cup at Hampden. They say the next manager, the negotiations are at an advanced stage. Big football club, long ago stopped winning trophies. They have to get this one right.
And as if it wasn't a busy enough time in Scottish football, Aberdeen do have a search on for a new manager. So watch out with interest how that one goes in the coming days. But on the field, still a huge weekend to be finished off. We are here for 6, maybe more, hours tomorrow. 2 o'clock, make sure you join us. We are back in the studio. We've got Celtic against Livingston, then straight into Hibs against Rangers as well, and we will be 3/4 of the way through completing the draw for the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup. You won't want to miss it. I know it's Mother's Day. Get the formalities dealt with in the morning, get the feet up and listen to the guys as they take you through all the action tomorrow afternoon. In the meantime, let me thank you for listening today. Thanks for your calls and your tweets. Thanks to Mark, Gordon and Hugh. We will be back tomorrow, and George is up next with the GBX.